Hey everybody, Ronan Nelson here for Rugby Wrap-Up, live from Torero Stadium in beautiful San Diego, California, following the USA's dominating 52-16 victory over the northern neighbors Canada in the Rugby World Cup qualifying America's series leg number 2. Before the match kicked off, I sat down with USA Rugby CEO Dan Payne and asked him a few questions on the USA Rugby's marketing strategy, how they advertise, how they choose locations for international test matches, and the road ahead to the Rugby World Cup Sevens next year in San Francisco and Japan 2019.
How have you enjoyed being the CEO of USA Rugby so far?
Well, I think it's a game that I'm extremely passionate about. It's our country. It's a chance to be able to work for our membership and work for our game. And you know, it's been a pretty educational year, I would say. Would be, you know, there's a lot of things that occurred and happened that we didn't plan for, but that's why it's called a job as well, right? It's work. And you know, I think weekends like this and chances to get in and around our community are what inspire me and push me through, you know, day after day. So it's okay. I've enjoyed it.
What are some of the challenges that you faced that you kind of mentioned?
I think with this year we had some financial obstacles that kind of sprung up on us, and we had to, you know, we're an organization that tries to do a lot with a very little to begin with, but then I think we had some obstacles this year that were greater than anticipated just due to some circumstances that were beyond our control. You know, the kicker of it is, When you go through things like that, you come out the backside stronger and tighter as a group, and the coaches and the players and all the staff and even our community has been amazingly supportive with what we've done. So, you know, it's been good from that perspective.
All right, cool, yeah. Now, there's been kind of a lot of talk around, or at least from what I can see on the internet, about interactions with the board and members, and I'm just curious about what your relationship with the board is and how you and the board interact on a daily basis, how you guys make the biggest decisions for USA Rugby.
Well, I think the largest decisions are obviously made collectively with the board. You know, it's in a governing body, you're always going to have, you know, you're going to have the cross-section of people that are happy and people that are always going to see things that could be done better, and that's just part of being a membership organization. You know, so I think you know, we're doing all we can, the board included, to push the game forward. So you know, I think whenever you go through some of the adversity we've gone through and some of the obstacles and tough times, you know, and people are so passionate about our game everywhere that you're going to point to things, and unfortunately usually that will be towards the CEO and or the board, right? that take the brunt of it, and that's fair. So
well, I mean, I'm from San Diego. It's really big that we finally have a big USA Rugby game here, so it kind of made me curious as to what USA Rugby's methodology for choosing venues is. So why was San Diego chosen as a venue for this second leg? Why was Georgia chosen as the match to play against Georgia? What kind of criteria do you guys have for choosing games?
I'll give you the Georgia match was outside of the normal criteria, to be honest with you, but in this situation for San Diego, it came down to a pretty simple formula that we've used. And you know, we have six key markets that we're going to focus on over the next 3 to 4 years, where there's strong infrastructure of youth programs in high school and college, that you know, lends itself to hosting international events that will then also help grow the game in that area. Mm-hmm. And when we were picking the second leg of this home and away for Canada, it came down pretty simply to three different locations. And I said, well, you go find which of those three locations. I want to know the last 5 years, their high school growth, how much their middle school growth is, and how much girls and boys youth rugby is going on, and what's been the track record over the last 5 years. And it came back that the place that had grown the most and was having the most success was San Diego, and it was done. That was it. That was the reward for everybody's hard work here. So, you know, and we wanna help grow the game, and we think that the national team events are obviously something that can help come in and fuel growth within that area. So it's more of a reward for all the hard work that people have done around here to get the game on an upward trajectory. And I think it's amazing when you look at how many high school programs have been added here.
Exactly.
In the last 6-7 years, it's phenomenal. So it's a chance to tell that story. We bring the matches in. Not only does it help fuel growth, but it also says, hey, if other places in the country do this, you might have a chance to get a test match as well. Not that, you know, hopefully people are growing the youth level because it's the right thing to do, but, you know.
I was very thankfully on that front edge of the high school wave. I played for a local team here, Cathedral Catholic High School.
Yeah.
And my senior year, we won the Southern California Championship here. But seeing in the last 3 to 4 years after I graduated high school, the number of teams that have popped up since we were in that Southern California Red Division is incredible. Yeah. So it is cool to hear that there is a reward kind of system for the success of the youth and club teams here. And when it comes to big matches like this, how do you and USA Rugby try and advertise the games? What are the main methods by which you guys try and get people to buy tickets?
Yeah, I think it's multi-pronged. Obviously, you know, you go into the market, and social media is obviously something that's very prevalent these days, but, you know, we've done everything from penetrating the market at the youth level with the local clubs, media buys. You know, we had the World Cup here this week. I don't know if you've seen any of that coverage.
So, I did, yes.
So the World Cup has been traveling around, trying to get a lot of different PR.
The Webb Ellis Cup, that is, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Cool. And, you know, and because we're playing for it right now. This game today, the winner of this game books their ticket to the World Cup. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, and I'm just curious because I'd seen that social media is usually the biggest kind of advertising method that I had seen USA Rugby putting out on. I know that San Diego's been a focus area on Facebook. I had seen more sponsored ads in this area leading up to this game. Is there a reason that the Union doesn't advertise on television, or is that just something that doesn't usually get touched?
Yeah, I mean, it's normally, you know, the reasoning would be however we go into a market and whenever we partner with the media consultants in that market, mm-hmm. there's a budgetary allotment.
Okay.
And it's always a cross section of what can we afford, what will give us the best return on investment, you know. And today it'll be sold out, so we'll have
it will be sold out.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah, I mean, if it's not, I would be shocked. There were 300 or 400 tickets left to be sold as of yesterday at 2 p.m. So we'll see.
Hopefully, when the United States wins this game today, and that is a hopefully. What is the 2-year strategy then for building the game leading up to the World Cup, especially with this new NBC Sports placing deal? Is there going to be more USA Rugby on TV, or is there going to be a different strategy for trying to push the game?
Yeah, well, I mean, the strategy won't change. Obviously, you know, we're going to have to make a coaching change after this game. Coach Mitchell is moving on to coach in South Africa, so we'll start that straight away. And we've already started, you know, accepting applications and have a list forming of candidates for that. For that position. But you know, the great thing is, just to what you said, if we qualify today, when we qualify today, like you said, it allows us to start to plan, you know, and start to build. But we won't, not much will change from the standpoint of how we're trying to grow the game and you know, raise awareness to the game. That will stay pretty much the same. Okay. But TV is a big part of it. The NBC mm-hmm. commitment and package is huge for the game in our country. It's going to be on NBC television all the time over the next, you know, 7 years with their deal. So the World Cups and their Premiership deal and a lot of different content that they're investing in. So
it was really cool to see the excitement, or not so much excitement, the relief that people saw when they saw this NBC deal, thinking, finally we have USA Rugby on the television.
Yep.
We have more rugby that we're going to be able to watch. We don't have to find streams on the internet. Yep. NBC is finally going to,
exactly.
We're going to have some outlet to be able to watch it.
And that really helps grow the game as well, you know, because people clicking through the channels one day will be, oh, I'll watch some rugby. They don't know. They're just clicking up through the channels to see what's on. And you'll get the casual sports fan that will get exposed to rugby. Mm-hmm. So, and it's also, we've all been trying to grow rugby. When NBC makes the investment that they made in it, now they have a vested interest in wanting to make sure the game grows as well, because they need people to watch it. So we have a good partner in helping grow the game.
And then the last question on venues and advertising that I have is, like I said, I was just in Dublin for 6 months. I was working over at Trinity College Dublin, very thankful for my time there. But I saw how the Irish Rugby Football Union penetrates their youth clubs and their adult clubs. They get their youth out in numbers for ticket sales, and their adult clubs, they use them as outlets to sell tickets. And I know I attended the Munster and Saracens Champions Cup semifinal.
Yeah.
Those tickets were only allotted through the clubs themselves, and so no one across the country was able to get tickets unless you were part of the Munster Rugby Supporters Group. And thankfully, I got in because I had, the accessible tickets were sold right down the street from where I was living, so I got to go down and get some tickets. But is there any sort of strategy for selling tickets through the youth clubs, or is it kind of different from that structure?
Well, I think, I mean, we are obviously always looking at all opportunities and all new ways to get tickets in front of people and promote the game and grow the game. And we haven't done that to that extent. I think primarily because we wouldn't have the breadth of youth clubs that would have the number of followers and things to be able to mobilize it. But it's an interesting idea.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty intriguing. I didn't even, you know, I think it's something that we could definitely look into. And I don't know if we'd ever be in a situation to release all the tickets through that, but it could be a portion.
Yeah.
And then it could be a fundraiser or something that could go back to those youth clubs as well, right? Like that they get a percentage of the ticket sales that they push through.
And then again, Munster has had a bit of a head start on USA Rugby at this stage.
Well,
it was just something that I wanted to bring up out of intrigue.
Yeah, I would just say it intrigues me quite a bit. It's pretty interesting, so I appreciate it. It's more of a statement than a question. It was valuable for you. I mean, from your perspective, I like it. I think it's good.
And then going on to Coach Mitchell, because everyone's trying to figure out where this next coach is going to come from. You said there have been leads at this stage. Is there a short list that you guys have, or is it just potential candidates at this stage?
We have a list of candidates that have expressed interest. We haven't done much to you know, start to delve into that list other than some very high level brief, you know, conversations. But we're trying to get through today.
Yeah,
and that'll be priority one as we start tomorrow. But the focus has been to kind of see when we get through today where we're at. So we haven't been able to, we haven't put the brakes on the process. We've started the process, but the timing will be a little bit different if we do qualify versus we don't qualify today, because it would be, you know, much more important to get somebody straight in there right away, and they would have only 4 or 5 months to start building for the next qualifier opportunity. So but yeah,
the next qualifying opportunity being the Americas 2 championship, that would be against the South American championship sides.
Yeah, it looks like it would be Uruguay, I believe.
Okay.
The team, but I believe it would be Uruguay. It's been Uruguay the last 3 competition cycles, so but you know, there's a lot of interest in, from, you know, young up and coming coaches from abroad and domestic, and, you know, well-known coaches as well.
So. Can you give us any inklings?
No
at
way.
All?
No.
I had to try. I had to check.
I knew it was coming. You would be failing your journalistic duties if you didn't ask.
Exactly. And my last question is, switching from 15s over to 7s, what is USA Rugby doing in the run-up to the World Cup next year? Because I know everyone's excited to see World Cup 7s come to San Francisco. So what are you guys trying to push to be able to get people out to AT&T Stadium up in San Francisco for that 7s?
There's a lot of different there's a marketing plan that really starts ramping up 1 year out, where tickets go on sale July 20th.
Yes.
July 17th, there'll be some pre-sale, 17th through the 19th, but then July 20th is the 12-month mark before the competition next year. And that's really where, you know, as you'll see, the week leading up, even into July 20th, there'll be a lot of different noise in the marketplace on, you know, San Francisco 2018. And it's something that, you know, it's a great opportunity for us, not just in the Bay Area, but rugby in America, to really host an event in an iconic stadium.
Exactly.
To do it and set with, you know, the stadium itself, to be able to put rugby in it and to be able to show it, is just showcase our game.
Exactly.
It's going to be phenomenal. So,
well, thank you so much for that.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. For more global rugby coverage, sometimes with a wink, go to rugbywrapup.com on the internet, at rugbywrapup on the tweets and the Instagrams, rugbywrapup on Facebook. From San Diego.